Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word, presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace, revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Today, during our time together in God's Word, we're going to begin looking at the longest chapter in the entire Bible, the 119th Psalm. It contains 176 verses. If you're ever doing Bible trivia, remember that that's the answer to the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. The Psalm has been called the golden alphabet of the Bible. This chapter and this Psalm is in the acrostic form, meaning that it has an alphabetical arrangement. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, and the Psalm is arranged in 22 stanzas or 22 sections, which correspond with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Normally, an acrostic in the original Hebrew has one verse or one statement for each letter, with verse 1 beginning with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse or statement following beginning with a subsequent letter of the alphabet. There are 8 other acrostic psalms, 9, 10, 25, 34, 37, 111, 112, and 145. Psalm 119 includes a section of 8 verses for each letter of the alphabet. So you do the multiplication, you have 22 stanzas multiplied by 8 verses per stanza, and you have 176 verses. In our Bibles, we find the Hebrew letter supplied before each stanza. You see it there, we'll say Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, etc. In the Hebrew, each verse in that section begins with that letter. Every verse in the first section begins with Aleph. In the second section, every verse begins with the letter Beth, and so on. So if it was English, for an easy way to understand it, the first word of each verse in verses 1 through 8 would begin with A. Verses 9 to 16 would begin with B. Verses 17 to 24 with C, and so on. But nothing is without significance in the Word of God. And the reason the Hebrews put verses and passages in the acrostic form was so they could more easily memorize a portion and remember it. And it was also for the reason that they could meditate on it and sing it, even. So this shows you something as to the importance of this passage among the Hebrews and to God, who inspired the writer to put it in this form. God wanted Israel to remember this psalm and to have it in their hearts and in their minds. And I believe God wants us to remember this psalm because its grand subject and theme is the exaltation of the Word of God. What we have in front of us in this chapter is 22 sections of meaningful and purposeful declarations about God's holy word. One commentator said this, "By using the alphabet in this acrostic form, the writer may have been suggesting that all the possibilities of human language are exhausted and setting forth the fullness and perfection of the Word of God." And it reminds you about the Lord when the Lord speaks of Himself as the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. That title for the Lord teaches that He is everything of goodness and perfection that can be expressed by every letter of the alphabet arranged in every possible combination in all possible words. From beginning to end, He exhausts the vocabulary of excellence and greatness. So too, by this alphabetical arrangement from the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet to the last, the Word of God is shown to be perfection by all the possibilities of human language. Remarkably, God Himself is referred to in every verse, all 176 of them. And in all but 5 verses, God's Word is mentioned in one way or another. It's not known for certain who wrote the psalm or when it was written. It's been stated, though, that it is, and you'll find as we go through it, that it is Davidic in tone and expression, so it may have been David that wrote it, but we can't be 100% sure. The Williams Bible Commentary said this about the chapter: "The psalm contemplates a pilgrim walking through a wretched place on a dangerous road in the dark night and wholly dependent upon a lamp to light his way and guide his feet. The lesson of the psalm is that the lamp may be wholly trusted and that whoever follows its light will be preserved from the filthiness of the way, saved from the dangers of the path, and surely led to its desired end. This lamp is the Bible." Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8 say, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly." The writer begins by delighting in those who act and live according to the word of God and are undefiled in the way, or blameless in the way of righteousness. There is blessing in this, as he says, "Blessed are the undefiled." Back when this was written, the law was an appropriate title for the word of God because that's the only word they had. And it was the word that they lived by under the law. Today, we are under grace, not under law. But there is a principle that is true always, that there is blessing in walking according to the truth of God's word, rightly divided. The psalmist rejoices in those who make God's word a way of life, who conform to it, who walk in the Lord, who keep and obey his word, and who also with all their heart and soul pursue and seek God in a fuller knowledge of him. In doing all this, in walking in him and obeying his word and seeking God, they are kept from sin, verse 3 says, as they do no iniquity because they walk in his ways. Being occupied with God and his word and his righteous ways, sin is kept out of their lives. Because the closer you are to the Lord and to his word, the farther you are from sin, and it gives you strength against sin. And the writer says that these that walk in his ways are only doing what God has commanded, as his will for all of us is that we keep his precepts diligently, as verse 4 says. Then the writer wishes to be one of these kind of people. He says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes," in verse 5. His desire is to have respect unto all the Lord's commandments in his word, and to live an unashamed life, praising God from an upright heart, because he's living in accordance with God's righteous word. I like the grit and the resolve of verse 8 when he says, "I will keep thy statutes." He resolves within himself to keep, to obey God's word. But then at the same time, he realizes his own incapacity and need of the Lord to be with him always, and he pleads that the Lord would not forsake him, not leave him alone as he goes down the pathway of life. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." The psalmist asks the question, and he answers it himself. He simply asks, how shall a person clean up his life? And the answer is by heeding the word of God. By obeying God's way, our ways and lives can be cleaned up, changed, transformed, and made right. It's been said, and rightly said, the Bible is not just given for our information, but for our transformation. The Bible was a book to be heeded and obeyed by faith, knowing that it contains supreme wisdom in all that it teaches. We must humble ourselves and submit to its teachings, trusting that God has the answers, and that God will guide us into the way that's best for our lives. The writer, with his whole heart, seeks God, as he says there in verse 10. But he wholeheartedly devotes himself to the word and desires to not wander from its commandments. The farther away that we wander from the word, the farther we wander from the Lord, and a distance comes into our relationship with Him, practically speaking. The opposite is true as well. The more time we spend in the Word, the closer we become and are to the Lord in our relationship with Him. By His desire to not wander from the Word, the writer is declaring His desire to not wander from the Lord, and that He wants to be close to Him, near to the Lord in our life. And this is a good challenge for all of us to resolve to not wander, to wholeheartedly make a commitment with God's help to get into God's Word on a regular basis, knowing that as we spend time in the Word, this will lead to nearness to the Lord in our relationship with Him. So we need to make Bible reading a part of our lives. But I think we just need to let it fit naturally into the flow of your life. Making it something you know needs to be a priority so that you don't neglect it or forget it. But you also have to make it realistic on yourself so you don't give up after a period of time. Do what works for you. Don't follow the model of others or feel guilty about what others do. Do what works for you. Listen to the Bible on CD if you have trouble reading, or listen and read at the same time. Use daily reading planners if they work for you. Make your own plan if not. Use a Bible with large print. Use a Bible app on your phone. Set a time or do it spontaneously. Read while you're waiting somewhere. I often read when I'm waiting on my wife when she's shopping. I just take out my phone and I got the Bible on it and I read it. But so just read God's Word anytime, anywhere. When you're reading God's Word, if you don't understand something, write down your questions. But oftentimes as you just keep reading, the Bible answers itself. But if you write down those questions and you don't know the answers, bring your questions to your local church and ask your pastor. Or write in the Berean Bible Society. We'd be happy to answer your questions that you might have from God's Word. Prioritize your time with God's Word because God wants us to prioritize Him as first in our lives. And He wants us to have the heart of the psalmist here to not wander, but to wholeheartedly seek Him and His Word.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Things That Differ, The Fundamentals of Dispensationalism, is a paperback 290-page book written by Pastor Cornelius R. Stamm. Those who struggle with rightly dividing the word of truth will find this volume most helpful. Pastor Stamm gives the readers an in-depth look at the major differences between prophecy and the mystery. Every believer should read this work. This book, more than any other, has been used to bring people to an understanding of the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Psalm 119, verse 11, a very familiar verse that we probably all know. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is one of the best known verses from Psalm 119. We see by it, though, how the writer hides God's word in his heart. He internalizes it, and it changes his life. God's Word is our defense against sin, to keep it out of our lives. God's Word gives us strength against sin. It's been rightly said that the most important book in the whole world is the Bible. The most important place to put it is in the heart. Hiding God's Word in our heart also reminds us of the importance of Scripture memorization. Scripture memorization is not like trick cereal just for kids. We all need to do it. It's for all ages. Memorization pays great spiritual dividends. It strengthens your prayer life. It sharpens your witnessing for the Lord. Your counsel then becomes in demand because you have God's word always on the tip of your tongue and verses hidden in your heart. Turn to a passage that speaks to you, that has helped you, and commit the passage to memory. You can learn isolated verses, but consider doing chunks of scripture, chapters. Doing this, you get the flow of thought that God has in mind when you do that. Scripture memorization can be also an incredible testimony of your love for the Lord, your love for His Word, and its importance to your life. Psalm 119, verse 12 says, "Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes." The writer then blesses and praises God and asks Him to teach him. This request to be taught and led deeper into the Word is a request to be led into a deeper, fuller knowledge of God. To know God by His Word is the greatest thing to know in life. We each have a personal, individual responsibility to know God's Word for ourselves. And we have a personal, individual need to know the Lord and to learn and to grow in His Word. We need to look for avenues to help us with this. Consider taking distance studies from a Bible school. One I would recommend is Berean Bible Institute, which was established by Berean Bible Society in the mid-90s. I was trained and graduated from BBI. I highly recommend it. School's located in Slinger, Wisconsin. But also consider volunteering to teach a Bible study or a Sunday school class. Teaching other people drives you deeper into the Word when you need to present it clearly to others. This verse reminds us that when we get into God's Word ourselves, that we should do what the psalmist does here, and we should pray when we read. Pray a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be a long, glorious, flowing prayer. Just a short, simple, to-the-point prayer like verse 12 here. Teach me your statutes. It's been said that the Bible is the only book where the author is with you every time you read it. Ask the Holy Spirit, the Bible's author, to show you things, to teach you, to help you understand His Word. One of the Holy Spirit's ministries under grace is illumination. He enlightens us to the truths in His Word. Illumination has to do with the Spirit enlightening us to spiritual meanings and what God's truth means to us personally. The illumination the Spirit gives is about understanding God's Word and understanding what it means to your life. Illumination is about heart change, not just mind filling and knowing facts. True spiritual understanding takes place as the truths of God's Word travel from the head to the heart and changes both the head and the heart. Ephesians 1:17-18 says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." The goal of the Spirit's work of enlightenment in giving wisdom and knowledge, helping us make spiritual connections and understanding meanings, and all of that is to increase our knowledge of Him, Christ. Knowing Christ and being more like Him is what truly transforms our lives by grace. Psalm 119, verses 13 and 14 say, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches." The Word, which the psalmist has hidden in his heart, now comes out through his lips to declare it and share it with others. He declares the Word with his lips, which he says first came from the mouth of God who breathed it out. God wants us to be, though, His mouthpiece now to share His Word with others. The writer's delight in the Word led to his desire to share its truths with others. His deep belief and trust in what God's Word says made him want to pass it on to others. Evangelism and sharing the word is not something that should be done from compulsion, I believe. I believe it's just an overflow of joy at the good news you fully trust and you know to be true. The psalmist lifted up his voice and spoke God's word out to others. And then he lifts his voice up and rejoices to God for his word. As he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. And he finds it of greater worth and value than all riches, than all the riches of this world. A number of years ago, a story appeared which told of a man who picked up a beautiful rock from a North Carolina stream bed and used it as his cabin doorstop for 3 years. Years later, a geologist who was hiking in the area stopped at the cabin and noticed the doorstop, which he immediately recognized as a huge lump of gold. In fact, it proved to be one of the largest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rocky Mountains, a 17-pound nugget. The Bibles we own are of much more significance and value than this huge gold nugget. The Bible is much more than decoration for a table, much more than just another book for the bookshelf, or a place to put pictures or important papers. Like the man who used the gold nugget as a doorstop, so many don't know the treasure that they have in owning a Bible. It is the very Word of God. It is God's wisdom, God's revelation to man. In some things we should be content. When it comes to the Bible, we should never be satisfied with how much we know. Because for those who patiently, consistently search and learn the Word, there is always more treasure for God to reveal to us and in which for us to rejoice. It's important to read God's Word, but the riches of God's Word reminds us that it's also important to study it, to dig into it. There's riches on the surface when you read. But like other riches, like gold that they dig for in this world, they have to dig down and they have to search for it. And so it is with the riches of God's Word that you got to dig in. And as you dig in deeper, you find greater riches as you study it more closely. The Bible is a mine of exhaustless wealth. You see the results of spending time in God's Word in all this as you see blessing in verse 12. You see joy in verse 14. And all of this is as a result of closeness to God's Word and a closer relationship to the Lord. It brings joy, blessing, comfort, and encouragement. People search for those things in life in so many other places. But we find these things simply by spending time in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The psalmist dedicates himself to meditate on God's precepts. Now, meditating, there's a lot of strange ideas about what meditation is. But when you talk about meditation in the Word of God, all it means is to think about the Word of God. Rehearsing what you've learned in your mind throughout the day as you're doing other things. And you think about a verse, you think about a passage, you think about a book, and you just rehearse it in your mind. And it's about contemplating God and His person, considering His overall plans and purposes and how it all fits together, thinking about what He's saying to you personally by a passage of Scripture. Often the Spirit illuminates truth in those moments when you're thinking. And you make spiritual connections and other verses and truths come to mind. You can do this at work. You can do this at school. You can do this at home. You can lay awake at night when you can't sleep, cutting the grass and you're doing dishes. Meditating shows God wants His Word on our minds at all times. The writer says he'll meditate on God's precepts. That term precepts speaks of instructions from a superior to those under him regarding the duties that they are to perform. And that's what God's word is to us. And thus we should respect his ways, as verse 15 says, and have respect unto thy ways, knowing that the superior who has given us this word is the one who is the superior overall. The duties that we are to perform, however, is something we must obey as we rightly divide the word of truth and understand the Bible dispensationally. All Scripture is for us and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's all for our learning, God's Word says. But not all Scripture is written directly to us. God gave the nation of Israel precepts that they were to perform under the law. And God has given the body of Christ precepts and duties that we are to perform and obey under grace. We must rightly divide between God's instruction for Israel and His instruction for the body of Christ so that we rightly apply God's word to our life. Then as we read, study, and we memorize, and we meditate, and we apply God's word, we need to remember to do so in light of Paul's letters of grace in the word rightly divided. And a simple breakdown of this, what we're talking about when we say the word rightly divided, is that the Old Testament and the Gospels, Genesis to John, were written to the nation of Israel according to God's plans and purposes for them and their earthly kingdom hope. Acts is a transition book from Peter to Paul, from Israel to the body of Christ. Paul's epistles, Roman to Philemon, are our letters for today and are Christ's direct commands for the body of Christ under grace, in accordance with our heavenly hope and Christ's heavenly ministry. The letters of Hebrews to Revelation are letters for Israel after the dispensation of grace, after the rapture of the church, for their direct application within the tribulation period and the kingdom. Finally, the writer says that he will delight himself in God's word. God's word is not, as some suppose, God trying to take away delight and joy in your life. Instead, God's word gives this to our life as we learn it and obey it. I will not forget thy word, verse 16 says. Not forgetting the word is about not forgetting the Lord and our relationship with Him. May we remember His word and its vital importance to our life and spend time with it consistently. In doing so, we will be transformed by grace. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time. We're going to keep walking through Psalm 119.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.